Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Glad to have you along. And good to have our buddy Jeff Poor from Yellowhammer News, Lanyap, Breitbart, and oddly enough, the guy that got the gig to host a show called The Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Sean.
It's always a pleasure. Lots to talk about here. I guess let's start in Washington, and then we'll work our way back home to Sweet Home, Alabama. It's impeachment TV week two. Today, supposedly, I mean, yesterday, you know, you had a packed house of testimony, but today, Dalton was saying it earlier, do you feel that Sondland is going to be a star witness for the Democrats? Is this a big deal for them?
You ever wonder that maybe they're overplaying some of these witnesses?
Really?
Like,
really?
Do you ever think that? It'd be like, it just seems like every day, forget about these first two witnesses. The big witnesses are coming next week.
Right.
And then the next week rolls around. Here we are. It's already Wednesday. And we're waiting for that, like, that moment in the trial or the confession comes out. Yes, I did it, you know. And we never get that. We just get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yesterday, like 11 hours of testimony. Who is following this closely?
I don't know. I mean, have we seen the Nielsens? Is it?
I haven't seen the ratings yet.
Because I thought last week, maybe because of the novelty of it, they would be, you know, pretty good. People would be interested. But we talked about this. We talked about it with you last week. When do people get bored with this?
Well, here's what happened. I have been watching the overnight ratings. They've been pretty tight with the Fox News crowd, but the MSNBC guys have really CNN's just been as visible as usual, but you've seen an uptick in MSNBC. So it tells me that there is some enthusiasm on the left about impeachment. I think that for the Democrats, how this plays out in the end, in some ways it's kind of a necessary evil for them. They had to do this. Their base tells them they needed to do this. So to me, that's what this looks like. They're having to go through these motions and show that they want to do something about Trump and convince whoever. My theory has always been it's their base and some of their donors that they are indeed using their majority to as they promised, and this will pay off for them by keeping some of their base engaged in 2020 and get them to write checks for their campaigns as well.
I'm not sure how Schiff and the Democrats are intentionally scheduling these witnesses to come up. I know last week was week one. We had, three days of hearings last week. But with Sondland coming up today, I don't know if he was intended at the beginning of all this to be the most important witness they pull into these public hearings, but it seems like he had the most contact with the president during the course of all these, you know, alleged phone calls and meetings that were had. And on top of that, he kind of seems like he might have bought his way to become an ambassador, like we've seen so many before, not just in this presidency, but in presidencies past. So maybe not the most qualified, but he has had the most contact with the president. And he had that change, I guess, after his private testimony a few weeks back. Today, do you think, I mean, it seems like even if he wasn't intended to be the star witness, that the Democrats and Republicans will maybe change their battle plans depending on what he says today.
Yeah, I think perhaps, but we already kind of know what he's going to say based on what happened in the skiff, I think. Unless the Democrats were holding out and going to play this card now that they got something that he's going to have to admit to under oath, I think we already know what they're all going to say. And I think this charade, or whatever you want to call it, we're going through right now, was another necessary evil for the Democrats, because the perception of doing it in a secured room where the public couldn't see it, where the media couldn't see it, might have been a little too much for, you know, some of their media to justify. And now you have it all out in the open, and it won't matter what these guys say. It'll be interpreted as damning either way, I think. So, yeah, Sondland, I think, maybe could be the one with the most contact with the president. But I feel like we already see where this is going.
Okay. And one of the things where it's going is the change of language. It was good to have a story reinforced with we've talked about over time that the way campaigns are done, whether that's a campaign for office or a campaign for an idea, that focus groups are brought in and testing's done. And while the politicians will act like it's a heartfelt grassroots message they're bringing to the people. In fact, it's something that's been tested. That's why they changed from what, quid pro quo, to talk about bribery, right? That's the new term. It's bribery.
Yeah, and bribery is easier for the layman to understand, I guess, when they focus grouped it. That just tells me, though, that it is what we thought it is. It's a made for TV political campaign meant to accomplish something, and it's not clear what they're trying to accomplish. But like I said, I have my theories. But the change in language certainly shows that is the case.
It's looked like the Democrats will call this impeachment to a vote and send it off to Senate. But Sean and I are kind of on different coins of this, different sides of the coin. I don't think that the Democrats will eventually vote on this at all. I think they wanted this out in the public, because what are the ramifications if this is sent to Senate? I mean, those won't be, would those be public testimonies? And we already know that all the senators that are running for president right now, this will put them behind the coin in campaign season when they need to be out on the road shaking hands and kissing babies.
It also put them in a position where if they do have to have a vote and determine whether or not you convict and remove, that it could be, it will result in an acquittal. And Trump can use that to say, hey, I'm not guilty of anything. I had my day in court. You couldn't prove me guilty. I'm innocent. So that's, to me, that's another possibility. I do think, though, that they got to vote. They got to impeach. They got to put the asterisk beside Trump's name like they did Bill Clinton. They're going to have to do it, or people are going, I think their base will be irate.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm just sticking with that idea because I said it back in September. But I still feel like you, Jeff. I think that they will move forward with this impeachment, send it to the Senate, then it goes nowhere. It's so they can do exactly what you said. They said, yeah, y'all asked us to do this, and we couldn't control the Senate because of Republicans. If you could only give us the Senate, we could have gotten something done. But we did what we could for the people in the House of Representatives.
Right. And just if it doesn't, you know, they keep intact their seats. So, for example, if they don't do this, what I could foresee happening is a lot of these Democrats, especially these Democrats who have been there a long time, would get primaried. That's right now, to me, this looks like a it's almost a defensive kind of maneuver by going on the offense, by saying you're going to do something. It keeps you from being a target for a primary, winding up like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did with Joe Crowley. You know, there are a lot of Democrats. The biggest one to me that stands out across town in New York City, Jerry Nadler, he could be primary challenged if and lose if they don't do something about this, and then he loses his chairmanship. He loses a lot of seniority. He's a loyal lieutenant to Nancy Pelosi. To me, that is kind of why they're going to have to pull the trigger on it.
All right. You think timeline, because it does get the timeline gets kind of weird here, because they got Thanksgiving break and they come back, what, for 2 weeks, and they're off again in the House?
Right. So, you know, and I thought, well, are they going to get it done into the Senate before the end of the year? Because initially we were told, what, before Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and now the end of the year. So it keeps getting pushed back. And there's so much stuff the House of Representatives still has to do. They still got to pass a budget. They still got to maybe they have to go with another CR or something along those lines. But how difficult is that going to be with impeachment going on? How many upset Republicans are just not going to go along and play ball? And it really puts a lot of things in peril.
That's for sure. All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor. We'll talk some state politics and upcoming session. We had a discussion yesterday, by the way, about this compact that has been offered from the Porch Bandit Creek Indians to the state for exclusive gaming rights, Class 3 gaming, in exchange for cash money for the state of Alabama. We'll get into that in just a second. Hey, holidays are here, and I want you to give yourself and the other folks in your house a gift. But two gifts, the gifts of clean and the gift of time. And that's why you need to call the maids for a free estimate right now at 344-6626. These are the folks cleaning our house, and they're doing fantastic work. Believe me, it's like if the white glove. Okay, I had my mother come through the home the other day. and give it a seal of approval, which is hard to achieve here. It gets the white glove treatment, and the maids made that happen. What I love about it, too, is this time of year, you've got more mess than normal. You're getting out decorations, putting stuff up. Kids are coming in and out of the house. At the same time, you need more time to enjoy the holidays with Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas and having friends over and family over. So it's a double whammy. Well, you can fix both of those when you get the maids. Give yourself the gift of clean and the gift of time, and get that free estimate now by calling 344-6626, 344-6626, and see what the maids can do for you. 817, coming right back. And by the way, I had some texts and calls. We will give you some stats on our online opinion poll question coming up after 8:30, plus take your calls about what went down yesterday or what didn't go down, depends on how you look at it, at the Mobile City Council. Be right back. This is Mobile Mornings. Right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Our buddy Jeff Poor from WVNN, oddly enough, got a gig hosting something called the Jeff Poor Show up there. You read his work in Landyap, Yellow Hammer News, Breitbart. And Jeff, this text here from Tony, I think this is interesting. He said, if we have a government shutdown, we can call it the Democrats' impeachment shutdown. Would that be accurate? Yes, but would that stick? What do you think?
Maybe if you're a consumer of Fox News or if you're talk radio, the media are going to make it out to seem like it's Republicans' fault. It seems like that's always the case, though.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Did the Republicans never, for maybe that one shutdown for 3 days in 2017, the Democrats, it stuck to the Democrats. Would it stick to the Democrats this time around? I mean, it's possible, but it's hard to say. I don't know. I wouldn't put a lot on it, given the nature of the media.
I mean, I've seen this before over the years. I guess why I picked out that text, because it has happened that way. Sometimes it is Republicans responsible for it, but often when the Democrats have been responsible, it's like Charlie Brown in the football. They get stuck with it. I'm like, wait a second. In this case, it's actually not the Republicans' fault.
Yeah, well, I think, you could, perhaps the Democrats will take the blame for it, but I wouldn't bet on it, is what I guess the way I would look at it. I think it's entirely possible that it could go that way. But the full court press will be put on to tag it to Republicans and make it seem like they're not playing ball with impeachment and this president's so bad, it's their fault the government shut down over this.
All right, Jeff, want to switch home back here, home to Alabama, and somebody you and I both interviewed here over the last week, and that's Robbie McGee with the Porch Band of Creek Indians, and this offer to the state of Alabama, we've heard the governor comment a little bit on it. I know Del Marsh, Pro Tem Del Marsh yesterday said it was a monopoly, but this deal, do you think this is the year for a compact between the tribe and the state?
I don't know if it's going to happen this year. I would say this about the proposal put forward by the Porch Band of Creek Indians. I think it's an opening bid. I think that's your opening offer. And, yeah, perhaps it's a little outrageous. But I try to I had Robbie McGee on like you had on your show. And I've also tried to have these guys that are sort of, I would say, on the dog track side, the guys at APR, some other people. There is a way forward with this. They could probably pay off Green Track, pay off the track over in Macon County, Victory Land, down in Houston County. There's a lot of things they could do to make it more appealing, because it's not, when you talk to Robbie McGee, he'll tell you, well, why should we worry about these illegal operating casinos in Alabama? Mm-hmm. Which is fine, but the reality is you're still going to need votes in the legislature to get where you need to be with this. You're going to have some kind of legalized gambling to get the compact that they want done, because you're going to have the legislature approve some of that stuff or get it on a constitutional amendment or whatever. The legislature's going to have to be involved. So you're going to have to win those votes. You're going to have to win them in Macon County, Greene County, and other places around the state. Maybe you let have, don't make it completely a monopoly. But this is, I think, the opening bid, and at least the ball is rolling. I think most people in Alabama, my opinion on this, could care either way it goes. we're just kind of tired of talking about it. I want these guys just to hammer out something so the legislature and the constitutional offices, there's something else, they have more important things to do. Just get this over with and then go focus on schools or roads or whatever.
All right. Well, let me pick the things that bother me, and I've talked about this with more than one attorney general of the state of Alabama. How is, after a Supreme Court ruling and all that, how do we not understand the law as it's based on video bingo at these facilities and things outside the state? I am seriously bothered by enforcement that changes by the person in office, right? You know, I'm that rule of law geek. The law, what does the law say about those? I mean, we have to figure that out first. It shouldn't be that hard.
Well, there's so much money involved, and so many, it is shifting because we elect judges and we elect our top law enforcement official in this state. So as long as that's the case and the judges aren't appointed, I think that's always just kind of be the nature, especially of something gambling when there's so much money floating around, so much power and influence. So yeah, that gets back to my original point. Come up with a deal that makes everybody happy and be done with it, and so you and I can stop wasting our time about it.
Okay. And the other part too, that, and I know we got to figure in these track facilities, but when they talk about being a monopoly, and I see the argument made that what the Porch Bandit Creek Indians is asking for is a monopoly, and they're asking for Class 3 gaming. But if we don't think, and I'm going to put myself in that camp, that the legislature would ever vote for Class 3 gaming, or any time in my near lifetime, that we're going to vote to legalize Class 3 gaming entirely for the state of Alabama, that it truly is not a full monopoly. If nobody else is allowed to do something, is it a monopoly because nobody's being they're being prevented from competing because of the law of the state, not what Porch Creek is asking to do?
Right. So, and the state and what goes on tribal land are two different things, right?
Yep.
So, if you approve a lottery, does that open the door for Class 3 gaming? You know?
Yeah.
Because then you have what are games of chance in the form of a lottery, and then Class 3 gaming, and it's based on Class 3 gaming's definition, not by the state of Alabama, but by the federal government, by the Department of Interior,
right,
which could be two different things. And that opens up a whole different ball of wax or whatever for the Porch Creeks. So to me, there's no guarantee. Robbie McGee is kind of, I think, a little coy when he talks about that. But they could very well do that. That's why you see when they try to go after the lottery,
mm-hmm,
that these lottery bills like Jim McClendon and these other senators propose that are tied to the dog tracks give these video lotteries or whatever to the dog tracks. And then when Albright, the senator from Atmore, has a proposal, it's just a paper lottery. And the idea of a paper lottery would open up the door for the Porch Creeks, I think. So you have these two competing proposals, and the knowledge of what the federal government will allow will supersede whatever the state does, and that's where the Porch Creeks are kind of looking at it.
All right, and this is how it affects what we will see for lottery this year. What's your sense on that? Do we see a bill passed that gives Alabamians a chance to vote on the lottery in this next session? Do you think they pass something?
I think you're going to have to hammer out the whole gambling thing. I don't think that you're just going to get a lottery vote. There's too many, even though they have a super minority, I think there's too many Democrats tied to the dog tracks. And obviously there's too many in the, even Republicans, that is, that are tied to those dog tracks. And I would say this, I think it probably gets through the Senate. Senate will pass everything.
Mm-hmm.
The House is where things are getting hung up, and you can just look and see the numbers. They just don't have the numbers. They're going to have to come to some kind of arrangement, some kind of agreement, or it's just never going to happen. You're never going to get a lottery in this state.
All right, there we go. Jeff Poor, and Jeff's going to be joining us tomorrow. You're going to come down for that AL1 Republican congressional debate.
Yes, I will be, because I believe I will be moderating one of those debates in the near future, the next one in Baldwin,
yep,
County.
So what you're doing,
it's good
to
learn from the professionals.
Oh, I know. I thought you were coming down to see what not to do.
No.
Plus, Jeff gets to do his show for WVNN from the battleship on Friday. I've been telling y'all that it's my favorite place to do a radio show. We'll see if he concurs. All right, man, I will see you tomorrow.
All right, thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always a pleasure. Jeff Bohr. All right, coming right back. Mobile City Council yesterday, the majority of the council votes yes for the right referendum, but three vote no, and the measure fails. Talk about that.
Good morning, 8:37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right. Good morning, Dalton.
So some more great deals floating around the lot at McConnell Automotive. Tell us what's so special about November. What you got going on?
Well, I think, first of all, this is a whole lot easier to figure out than the college football playoff. So, you know, for simplicity's sake, people out there listening, Dalton, that don't like to negotiate and have to worry about back and forth, you know, McConnell's gotten famous for that, we think, for 60 years. We just make shopping easy. But, man, we have Black Friday, and we've already started it. And if people just go to our website, literally every GMC and Buick we've got and literally market Black Friday savings. My favorite example right now is the biggest discount I've ever seen off the sticker price on any vehicle we sell, which is 25% off the Encore. So you can get a new Buick SUV for less than $20,000. And so that's like an $18,000 vehicle that normally stickers at 27, but also 0% interest, guys. So Black Friday, I just want people to jump on these deals, because the Sierra truck, Yukon, we have $11,500 off. These are just the kind of deals that only come around once a year, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Y'all have a great one, Dalton.
Go see Mitch McConnell and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38, and a reminder, it's always busy around here, but tomorrow extra busy, as we are going to, number one, announce the grand prize winner in our Go Play Outside sweepstakes. Almost $9,000 worth of items from our participating sponsors. One person wins all that, plus there's a bunch of qualifying prizes that will be given at those individual locations. We will make somebody very happy tomorrow as they win the Go Play Outside prize pack.
Man, it's such an awesome gift, prize package, not gift, but I guess
in a way we are gifting it, they could gift it to us.
So I can't wait to see who wins that, and hopefully I'll have an open invitation to come use that new Traeger grill.
Yeah, man, the Traeger grill and all, I mean, everything, guns and trailers and bacon and sausage and scuba gear. It's you go down the line and cooler. I mean, it's just these things we've talked about in the past. I get jealous of it. These things come and stay at the studio, a lot of them, and we get, like, the dive gears in my office, and I'm, you know, loving that.
I saw you wearing it yesterday.
Well, I checked out the BC. But, I mean, you've got, once again, Traeger Pro Series 22 Wood Pellet Grill from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, Gulf Coast Diving Package from Gulf Coast Divers, over 50 pounds of bacon and sausage, and $125 in venison processing, and a camo ice chest, and ammo from the folks at Monroe Sausage up in Beatrice, a Browning Hunting Outfitting Package from Quince Sporting Goods. Thank you, Brad. Legacy Sports 223 Hunting Rifle with a Scope from Six River Shooting Center. His and Hers Costa Sunglasses, or Costa Sunglasses and Accessories from Sunglass World. And a 5x8 utility trailer with 15-inch radial tires, LED lights, treated wood floor, removable fold-down gate, heavy-duty jack, and safety chains from Trailer Sales Alabama. They're all awesome, and good luck as we make that drawing tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening, the AL1 Republican Congressional Debate live from the J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. All right, to the phones, and talking about yesterday's Mobile City Council meeting, and by the way, too, our online opinion poll question hinging off of this, all right? Because remember, yesterday, you saw an example of the supermajority being needed. We've talked about it, different things that come up in front of the city council require supermajorities. We think often to the budget requires supermajority. This question, do you believe the Mobile City Council still needs to have supermajority requirements to pass certain items? Right now, 100% of y'all say no. All right, to the phones, and it's Bill in downtown Dog River. Hey, Bill.
Hi. I must say I was happy to hear C.J. Small's newfound dedication to rebuilding the infrastructure of the parkway, but a superficial review of his performance shows that he's being a bit hypocritical. We've got one police officer for 12,000 people down here. Now, the national average is two officers per 1,000 people.
Wow.
So you can see we have about 5% of the police force here on the parkway the rest of the country enjoys.
You know, the one of the discussions, Public Safety Director Barber said that one of the ideas they had talked about is, with that revenue, putting a precinct down on the parkway.
Yeah, but what good is a building? We need officers.
Agreed.
And CJ voted to spend $300,000 for a new logo for the city of Mobile. He also voted to spend approximately that much for downtown so that tourists could walk around with a drink in their hand. That's what the increased police presence down there cost. Now, what does that mean to me? The last time I called in, shots fired, somebody emptied a clip in front of my house. An hour and a half later, I got a slow roll by a policeman. The last time there were shots fired downtown, 33 showed up within minutes.
So your question, and I was thinking about this when listening to C.J. Small, Councilman Small yesterday, that you're saying a newfound dedication. Yeah, he's talking about the infrastructure, but he's been y'all's counselor for how long?
I think we're going on 7 years now.
Yeah.
He was appointed by Mayor Jones when we were going through the roulette of city councilmen for a while. I think we had four in 4 years or something crazy like that. Now, I personally oppose this annexation, and I'll tell you why. Down here on the parkway, we're dying of metastatic thug cancer and a lot of other things. And yet, this has been going on for years. The Stimson small administrations have been an absolute disaster. So why do I oppose this? Well, years ago, we were told the home court would be our economic salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were told that didn't work out. Then we were told the Indonesian aircraft plant would be our economic salvation. That didn't work out either. And then we were told the String of Pearls would be our economic salvation. Well, that certainly didn't work. And here recently, Airbus was the last person, and my neighborhood is worse off for Airbus.
I agree with it. The string that you put through there, I agree with it. And by the way, we're still paying the String of Pearls. But I think the judgment's still out on Airbus. I think the potential for Airbus is good.
The potential is there, but it's like the old Chinese saying, say is good, do is better. Airbus has done very little for us down here. Telling me to wait another few years for another economic miracle to happen is like telling a rape victim to lie down and take it next time.
There's Bill with with his take on it from C.J. Small's district. And CJ, of course, one of the votes no yesterday. There were four, and thanks for the call, Bill. There were four yes votes, three no votes. So they needed a suit because people said, why didn't it pass? Because the majority of the city council voted to let the people, the 13,000 in those areas, vote to come in or not come in. I mean, once again, it was just a right of referendum for them. But three members of the council said no, so therefore they did not have the supermajority. Let's go to Mike next in Mobile. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Hey.
I just find it a shame that you have a few members of that city council that will do anything and everything they can possibly do to buck heads with the mayor and just to do it for spite. They don't want him to succeed. They don't want the city to succeed. It's an ongoing problem that just, and it's a shame because Mobile is such a growing place that you have these apples that just will not let it go, and it's bad. And I think it's got something to do with racism, if you ask me. I think they're racist, and they're too chicken to say it. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. One of the questions here is, I guess if you want to be a fair arbiter, which I don't know how much fair arbitration was going on, but if you want to be a fair arbiter, is the addition, if those people voted to come in, would the addition of the 13,000 people be a net benefit or a net deficit to the city of Mobile? That's just a ledger sheet way to look at it. And the information that's been presented that I've seen shows it as a net benefit. Now, you can say, oh, it's not, that information is wrong. That's kind of what former mayor and Representative Sam Jones said yesterday. Then show me the information. I don't make up my mind just because I, you know, think this side's better or this side's better. Right now, I have the information showing it as a net benefit. You haven't shown me. Show me I'm a regular guy. Show me a ledger sheet. Show me, do a old, rest in peace, Ross Perot whiteboard where you say, here it is. Here's, I'm drawing this out. Here's how this works. Here's how much revenue comes in. Here's how much it costs. Here's how much, you know, revenue comes in. Here, and kind of lay it out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been shown is the addition of those people would be a net benefit to the city, even without the maybes, which would be the additional grants and those things when you're over 200,000, because those are maybes, even though it's likely they're maybes. But the numbers I was shown, that it was a net gain to the city of $2 million with bringing those folks in. Money that could have been spent in different council districts. And also, if you're looking at council politics, it doesn't change. Those people would have gone into District 6 and maybe some into 7, I think. No Best Riches District majority, maybe some into Gina Gregory's. But then the council can vote to reapportion the districts as well. It doesn't change. It's still one of 7 voices on the council. So it's not about council politics.
Well, and that's, I was going to ask you about the maybes, because we don't know for sure. I mean, it looks like if these areas were annexed and once the census was taken, that we'd be over 200,000, which is that special number you need to hit for those grants. But we don't know that for 100% certain, right?
Right. And then one of the arguments made that, oh, even the census will show that the numbers are wrong and Mobile won't make the cut or something. But then prove that. Don't just say it. Prove it to me.
Mm.
And I think what went on yesterday was not a lot of proving. It was a lot of saying, well, this might happen. This might happen. The only thing I had that was on paper was a gain of $2 million to the city, which the way I look at it, that's a net benefit, right?
And I know there were a few people, we got calls of people that live in those areas that might not necessarily want to become part of the city of Mobile, but that's what voting.
That's why
for,
the
right?
people get the right of referendum there.
Right.
That's right, a referendum. By the way, coming right back to the phones, I did get a text. We got a lot of texts here, but Supermom says, what does the String of Pearls mean? String of Pearls is what was laid out during the Dow administration. Things like GM&O building, right? The convention center. These things that were a string of pearls that were going to make Mobile better. And if you build it, they will come. Some cases, in some places, those things have worked. Here, they've kind of not worked, and we're still paying the debt service. I mean, that's part of where the budget goes. We pay for those things in debt service every year by the city. Right, 854, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, and to the phones at 343-0106. Derek, a part-time outsider of the city of Mobile, calling from Fairhope. Hey, Derek.
I am. Well, my office is in Mobile, man. You know, it's I'm on both sides of the bay. I mean, really, you have that division, but we're all kind of the same. You work over here, or you work over here, you live over there, whatever the case is. You know, it's really just the Mobile Bay area. If we could look at it like that, we might actually get more done. But I disagree with you on the supermajority.
Okay.
Basically, in a case like this, you know, because a lot can get done with just a majority. A lot of things get done that you may not like with a majority. And with the supermajority, in this case, about expanding the city, because if it would have been just a majority, it would have set a precedent, and then you would have had other areas that were like, well, all we need is, you know, 4 votes, and then we can vote on it. What if the council, you know, as far as the demographics or the political affiliation was switched?
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, in this case, with something this large, you know, yeah, I kind of believe in a supermajority. Now, I don't agree with why they did it. I 100%, you know, believe that, you know, and I will call Fred Richardson out all day. You know, he is a racist. And then CJ Smalls, that's Mr. Three-piece suit right there. I don't trust him either. But in this case, with expanding the city, it would set a precedent. So you kind of need that simple majority to keep just a simple majority in the future, just, you know, steamrolling everything.
There we go. Derek, appreciate the call. Let's run quickly here, grab maybe one more before we go to the news break. David in Mobile's up next.
Hey, Sean, to respond to Derek's question about what about in the future, I think that the the Fred Richardson and T.J. Small faction of the council showed that they have no scruples yesterday. So when they become the majority, you don't think that they're not going to go for that super to change that supermajority when they become the majority. And that and so when you've gone up against people that have no scruples, because basically C.J. Small admitted in open council meeting yesterday his vote was for sale.
How much?
$20 million.
$20 million, he would have changed all the things that he has said that, you know, that he'd heard from his constituents. He would buck that for $20 million.
Exactly, $20 million for his district. Now, it's not, I'm not saying it's illegal, because it wasn't going to C.J. Small personally; it was going to his district. But he, but his vote was for sale. So it is,
well, that's politics. That's any politics. As much as I mean, fair arbiter here. That is the name of the game in politics. You know, you want my vote. What am I getting for my district? I mean, that happens in Washington. Happens in Montgomery. Happens at city council.
Exactly. So it is time to reconsider the supermajority requirement, because a tool that was an innocuous, important tool that was designed to protect the rights of the minority mm-hmm. against the actions of the majority,
which was
is
needed.
Now being used as a tool for demagogues and extortionists. It's time to reconsider that supermajority role.
So you would, if you were, your vote would be, it's time for it to go?
It is certainly time to have that honest, open, and in-depth discussion about it. Because from what I hear, there's a movement afoot in the legislature, or will be in the legislative session, that might require an annexation vote in the police jurisdiction of Mobile for all 70,000 residents in that police jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's been one of the discussions, too, and what will be pushed if the legislation passes that State Senator Chris Elliott had talked about. Just getting rid of the requirement for any PJ at all. What happens then? Do you get a new city forming, or do you try to annex them into Mobile? All right, we'll pick this discussion up coming up today, 12:30 during Midday Mobile. Peter Albrecht, who's my co-moderator for the debate, he joins us at noon today, plus Jerry Carl, one of the candidates for AL1 on the Republican ticket, will join us at 1. Join us then. Mike Gallagher next.